Yesterday we worked on the Gemara. The Gemara was looking for a tolda of boar. So the Gemara thought a boar tes, a smaller boar, would be a tolda. And the Gemara finished off, no. That ze'av le'misa, the tes is an av le'mezikin. So a boar of tes has a halacha of an av and not a tolda. We said yesterday two pshatim why it's an av. We were going to say today another two pshatim in Tosfos, but since today's Gemara there's a lot to work on, we'll start off on today's Gemara, and then if there's time we'll go back to yesterday's Tosfos. But in order, I think we'll have more benefit this way. Okay. So the Gemara goes on. Today's Gemara found a different tolda. The whole table over there. I only have a little, over. Okay. Now the Gemara goes on to a new tolda. What's this tolda of boar? The av is making a hole in the ground. The tolda is avnoi sakino masoi, which literally means a knife or a stone or a suitcase, anything that damages by somebody hurting himself on it, either tripping over it or tripping into it. I don't want to go into a complicated shaila about Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos over here, which you didn't, maybe you did look about. But in any way, the avnei sakinah masoi is an object which creates a damage just like a hole in the ground. So the Gemara says like this, it depends. If he was mafkir it, this avnei sakinah masoi, he made it hefker, he doesn't own it anymore, then it's a good tolda. Then everything's good. Why? Because a boar is a hole in the rishus harabim which you do not own. And avnei sakinah masoi, if you mafker it, you do not own it. So it's exactly, the tolda is like the av, according to everybody. It's simple. It'll be a tolda, and you'll have to pay if an animal gets hurt on it. But if a person, Chalila, gets killed, or if Kalim gets smashed on Avnei Sakina Masoi, which is Hefker, so you'll be Potter. Because just like the Av is Potter on Kalim, the same thing, the Tolda is also Potter on Kalim. So everything is good. Remember, if you're Mafkir, the Avnei Sakina Masoi, it's a complete dinam of Bor, which is Potter on Kalim. That's the halacha of Bor. We said that. Shor v'layodom, Hamor v'loy Kalim. So just like a Bor is Potter on Kalim, the Tolda is Potter. Everything is good. Now we get into the complication. But if loy afkarinu, if a man put down a suitcase in the Rishus HaRabim, or a knife, which he still owns, if he puts it in the Rishus HaRabim, will that also be a Tolda of Bor? So the Gemara says like this, it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Pardon? Yeah, that's what I said. If he keeps it, he wants to keep it. Yeah, I said, a suitcase which he wants to keep without making hefker. So should we look, here's the lumdish shaila, should we look at these objects which he owns also like bor or not? So the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, it's still bor because it still creates the animal trips over it, just like whether he was mafkir or he was not mafkir. So according to Shmuel, avnei sakinah masoi is always like bor and is always potter on kalim. Any dishes that get smashed on somebody's suitcase, if it's sitting in the middle of the street, since he owns this, even though he owns the suitcase, it's still a bor. And just like the Torah gzeiras hakosev, you don't have to pay for smashed dishes in a hole, you don't have to pay for smashed dishes if it smashes on somebody's suitcase. But according to Rav, we have a problem. This is where we get into the very lumdisha Tosfos in the Gemara, in Rav. Because Rav says, if you own the suitcase, then it's sure. So really, Pashtis Rav is doing two things. As soon as Rav says that when you own the suitcase, it's sure, two problems we have to understand. Why does Rav not look at it anymore like a mazik of bor, just because he owned it. It's still, what is ownership? It's still it's still something that somebody tripped on. Why does Rav say it leaves bor? We no longer give it a label of a tolda of bor. And the second problem in Rav is, how does it become a shor? A shor is a live animal that goes ahead and gores. Okay? What does this have to do with a shor?
What does Shmuel say this again?
Shmuel says that nothing changed. Even though he owns it, it's still a simple bor. And it's putter on Kalim. Rav says, since he owns the Avnei Sakina Masoi, so the Bezdin looks at the Mazik, looks at the same piece of luggage that he owns, that now it's like his animal was going damaged. So two problems. Why? What happened to Bor? And how does it turn into a shor? Just, it's not a shor. It's not Karen, Shane, Regal. How does that happen?
You're mafka, Bor. Doesn't turn make it so that you can't be mafka?
You know, you could be mafka. You have to pay anyway, but still, you're mafka. The hefker is help. Somebody can come along and pick it up. Yeah. It says, ki'ilu b'shuse. It doesn't mean the hefker doesn't help. Technically, the hefker helps. It's ki'ilu for tashlumin. You have responsibility as if it's yours. That's a side problem. We're discussing now Rav, where he owns it. So let's not get off. Right? We're talking about Rav. Okay. And Rav says, lo yafkirinu. So our problem is, an object, a stumbling block that you own, Rav says it's shor. So the first question is, what happened? So what is Rav accomplishing by saying it's shor? After we have these two problems, which you have to understand, the question, why does Rav say it at all? Because Rav says, if it'll be like shor, then if somebody breaks vessels on the suitcase, then I'll have to pay. Because we know shor is chayiv in kalim. So Rav is trying to accomplish to make him chayiv on kalim that gets smashed on a suitcase. But our problem is, how does he do it? I mean, you can't just make it chayiv because it's shor. And if it would be a bor, it would still be putter. Because bor is putter on kalim. So how do we get away from looking it like a bor? And how do we turn it into a shor? Those are the two problems. Now, as far as the first problem is concerned, why, according to Rav, does it slip away from bor? There's a very interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Chof Ches, which Yemit Hashem will have in the third parak. Now, I don't want to. In order not this, Rashi over there says that somehow the chiyuv of bor is only when you don't own it. But when you own it, the Torah does not put on the mazik the responsibilities like bor. What's the logic? Rashi says that once, if you own the bor, the Torah does not make responsible. That answers. L'chor Rashi over there is saying that's what Rav holds. Rashi in Chof Chesam at Beis says that Rav holds, when the Torah gave responsibilities of the mazik of bor, it's only when you don't own it. When you own it, you don't carry responsibility as far as bor is concerned. That's why Rav had to come on to shore. Because Rav holds that if you own it, you don't carry responsibility. The question is, logically, l'chora, it's a kal v'chomer. L'chora, madok, you carry responsibility for bor. When you don't own it, if you own it, you should certainly. What is the logic of Rashi and Daf Chof Chesam at Beis? So many years ago, we thought, maybe I saw it in other places, there's an interesting logic, beautiful logic, why it's better for the person, he's less of a bad person if he owns the bor than if he's mafkirit. You know what the logic is like this? Because when a man makes a bor, either he digs a hole, or he throws something hefker out into the street, you know why it's a bigger kind of a damage? Why? Because he's going to leave it there, he's not going to do anything about it. Because once he's mafkirit, he doesn't care anymore for it. But if a person, let's say, digs a hole in his own property, right next to the public property, where somebody passing by could fall in, a bor, mamish a bor that you own, or a suitcase that you own, that you leave in public property, it's less of a bad thing. You know why? Because since you still own it, if you own it, there's more chance you're going to come back and take it. So it's not going to be left there as long. So therefore, Rashi held that when a man owns a bor, or an avne sakina masoi, when a person owns the obstacle, the Torah does not make him pay for damages because of bor, because it's not as bad as a regular bor that you mafker. Again, because when you mafker a bor, you have nothing else to do with it anymore. It's going to sit there till Mashiach comes, so it's going to cause more damage. But that's why Rav held that avne sakina masoi. The loyafilinu, if he still owns this package or this knife, so if he owns it, he might need it, he might want to keep it, he might want to sell it, he'll take it away so it won't hurt people anymore. So that's why Rav said, we can't make him pay because of bor, we have to make him pay because of shor.
Maybe
Rav talked about the question. What? Okay, but I added a logic. Shimshin is saying gzeres hakosid. Maybe it's not such a gzeres hakosid, yeah. Torah doesn't. Okay. Taisvis in Chavches argues. And Taisvis in Chavches Amid Beis, Taisvis in Davches says simply, he says, Rav never meant to get away from Bor. Taisvis says, Rav holds it is a Bor. When a man owns Avnei Sakina Masoi, when the Gemara says that according to Rav, when he owns the Avnei Sakina Masoi, it's sure, it just means it's bor plus. In other words, it's of course you could, it is bor, and he'd have to pay anyway if an animal got killed. But Rav says not only is it bor, we can give him also. We can add on top, we give him for two. In other words, according to Taisvis, not double, but he only damaged one thing. But he's adding on that we can get him for sure also. What's the difference if we get him only for bor? If what gets damaged, kalim. That's the nafkamina. If legabe kalim. So again, what do we start off asking? We asked our first question is, why does Rav leave it and say that we can't make him for bor? Why does he make him for sure? Why leave bor? According to Rashi, I gave you a logic. Why we leave bor? Because it's not as bad as bor. And according to Taisus and Akhenami, we don't leave it, we don't forget about it as a bor. When Rav says shkula mishore lo madnu, that when you own the Avnei Sakina Masoi, we get him from the mazik of shor, it means we get him also for shor, but we get him for bor also. What? No, don't say no. In two, according to Poshit, it would seem like for each one Poshit. Before we get to Taisus, in other words, you can get him for sure, for bor, but then if Kalim got damaged, you could not make him pay, because as far as the laws of bor are concerned, he's potter. So Rav adds, that's Pshat na Gemara, Kula Mishore, that we also get him for sure.
So why does Rashi in here, it's interesting that Rashi here, when he explains, let Bruno punch Rav into sure. Is that what Rashi means?
Bol takola bor.
He
doesn't say clearly exactly this Rashi. You eat it. Yeah, I'm saying Rashi there. I didn't say Rashi. No, lav dafka. He doesn't say. From this Rashi, you have no right. Now let's go to our Tosfos. After I've shown you this Hakdama, we understand. We really basically solve both problems. Well, first problem is whether we understand now whether Rav left go of Shor and is only Bor, or according to Taisvis it's even Bor, it's even Shor. But the second question is, why do we need Shor in the first place? So according to Rashi, it's not Shver, because else you wouldn't get him for Bor. According to Taisvis, for Caleb, very
good. Right, happened to be like Shor if I'm gone.
Now we're getting to Taisvis. That's going to come up in Taisvis. Right, but just get the steps. Now, from our Taisvis, the way I learned Pshat and Taisvis, that this Taisvis goes like Rashi and Chav Chesam and Beit. It's a little complicated, but this was written by a different person. Our Taisvis, we have two ways to understand Shor, right? Either like Rashi, only Shor, or like Taisvis, Bor and Shor. We look at it for two reasons. We make him pay for the suitcase that hurt an animal. If you look through our Taisvis carefully, you go over it, it would seem to me that Taisvis is holding like Rashi over there, which means from our Taisvis seems to feel that Bor we can't use anymore. Since he owns it, Avnei Sakina Masoi, it's not as bad as a bor that he let go, that he does not own, because it's not a permanent damage. So where do we see it from? Because if we'll look through the Taisvis says that Mishari Lamadnu, Taisvis says that what's sure? Sure this Karen Shane Varegel. Taisvis says when we get him for sure, we mean Karen. Why? Because we don't mean Shane Varegel. Because if it would be Shane Varegel, it would be Potter Bishus Arabin. Right? So therefore we make him Chayiv because of Karen, and Karen is Chayiv Rishus Arabin. Now, just from those very words of Taisus, that Taisus says, when Rav said sure, what did he mean sure? One, he had three choices. It means Karen to be Chayiv Rishus Arabin, and not Shane Varegel to be, or else he'd be Potter Rishus Arabin. So obviously Taisus is looking for reason to make him Chayiv Rishus Arabin. That means that it's not Bor anymore, because if it would still be Bor, if Taisus held, like the Taisus in Chof Ches, that every bor that you own is just as bad as if you don't own it, so of course you'd be chayev in Rishus HaRabim. So it would seem from Taisvis that Taisvis holds our Taisvis that a bor that you own, Avnei Sakina Masoi, has nothing to do with bor anymore, since you own it. So therefore, in order to make him chayev if he puts this baggage down in Rishus HaRabim, Taisvis had to find Karen. Because if you're going to compare it to Shane Varegel, you'll still be Potter and Shus HaRabim. The law is that Shane Varegel, eating up food, or trampling, Shane and Regel, those mazikim, are not chayiv in public property. I mentioned it already before. They're only chayiv in private property. Now, if Rav, from the fact that Tosis has to speak out, that Shor is chayiv, when Rav makes him pay because of Shor, he's paying because of Karen, that it's like Karen. Why? Taisa says, because if it's going to be like Shane Varegel, it'll be Potter Bishus HaRabim. That means that, why can't it be Chayiv anyway because of Bor? So you see that this Taisa holds that it can't be Chayiv on Bor. We have to look for a Mazik to catch him in the Shus HaRabim. The Taisa says it must be Karen. If we compare it to Karen, we can catch him in Shus HaRabim. So you see, Taisa didn't even think that he should be Chayiv in the Shus HaRabim just like a Bor, which is Chayiv Rishus HaRabim. Why didn't Taisus mention that it'll be Chayiv Rishus HaRabim because it's a bor? You see, Lachar, that this Taisus is going, you got it? That this Taisus holds simply, like the other Pshat and Rashi, that Avnei Sakinai Masoi, if you own the object, you can't catch him, you can't make him payments because of the bor concept, because he still owns it. He could take it away and take away the damage. We get him because of Shor, and Taisus speaks out. What Shor could we get him in Rishus HaRabim? Shor of Keren. Just like if his ox would gore somebody in Rishus HaRabim, he would have to pay. So the same thing if his suitcase smashes somebody hurts an animal in Rishus HaRabim, you have to pay. But then Taisus has a problem. If it's like Keren, he should only pay half the damages. Taisus says no. Half the idea of half and of whole is only by live Karen. Since this suitcase has the denim of Karen, but it doesn't have the logic of Karen, Tom, like watching, the suitcase has no brains to decide to damage or not to damage. That's why Karen, such a Karen, will have to pay Nezek Sholem even the first time. So what Taisus is saying is, we look at this suitcase, a man's own suitcase, that he leaves in the middle of the street, as a Karen. That's why we catch him. And we make him pay Nezek Sholem even the first three times, because it's not logical to make a difference between Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Sholem. Okay. Everything, so far, so everything would be smooth in Taisus, till Taisus comes along with a problem. Alright. Before we get to Taisus, let me ask an interesting shaila. Another point before we get to the next step of Taisus. Right. We said like this. We have a suitcase here. We're trying to find why should we make the man pay for the damages of his suitcase. Somebody, an animal tripped in the middle of the road. So Taisus says, how did Rav catch him? He couldn't catch him because of Bor, because since he owns it, it's not a Bor. That's what we just explained. If you own something, it's not considered like digging a hole, because you own it. So therefore, Rav says, I'll get him. You know how I'll get him? I'll get him because I'll make it into Karen. And Karen is Chayav Rishus HaRabbah. Now, if we have a choice to compare it to Karen or Shein V'Regel, right, we're going to compare it to an animal. If we look at it like Shein V'Regel, he won't have to pay for damage in the Rishus HaRabbah. So how does Rav go, L'chumra, and compare it to Karen? Taisa says, Rav did it. But if they're even, it's just as this suitcase is just as much, if you can compare it to an animal, just as much like Shein V'Regel as Karen. It's not really a metzius of Karen. It's only you want it, because since he owns it, so he owns Karen, and Karen is Chayiv, so he owns the suitcase is Chayiv. The question is, who give what, maybe go Lakula, and say like this, you own every Shein V'Regel you own. And Shein V'Regel is Pater Rishus HaRabbah. So say that since I own the suitcase, I'll only be chayiv if I go into your property and I put the suitcase in and then somebody trips on it. But in public property, just like Shein V'Regel, which I own the animal, I own the animal. If I put my animal eats up somebody's stuff, then I'm putter. So the question is on Rav, how did Rav, was he able to take this suitcase, Avnei Sakina Masoi, which you own, and make the fellow pay even Rishus HaRabbim, because you look at it like Karen? Why, let the Nizik say, let the Mazik say, you want to compare it to Mammon? You want to compare it to something you own? I compare it to Shein V'Regel. Shein V'Regel, if the suitcase was sitting there and then anybody just walking by and smashed into it, maybe it's more like Shein V'Regel. If you'd ask me, what is Avnei Sakina, a suitcase, more comparable in terms of the type of damage it does? Like a goring type of a damage? Or like a natural regal, where just naturally whatever happens to be there, the animal tramples? I would compare a suitcase to regal, because it's not done with any particular kavona, but anybody just happens to be there and knocks into the suitcase. He doesn't watch where he's going. Why would I compare it to Karen? This is L'chara, and later on I saw in one of the Achranim asked the Kasha. This bothered me in Taisus. It's not a Kasha on Taisus, it's a Kasha on Rav. Taisus explains, you understand the Kasha? It's not a Shver Kasha. Taisus explains that Rav, when Rav said that a suitcase is like a shor, it's like a keren, the keren type of a damage, which is chayav Rishus HaRabbah. Because if it would be like Shein V'Regel, it would be potter Rishus HaRabbah. The question is, so maybe compare it to Shein V'Regel. You have a choice. So l'chor you could say, simply, you could say, if we're not sure what to compare it to, remember the Rajma we brought down? If you're l'kula l'chumra, remember we're not sure whether he should have to protect it or not, since there's an isser for a man to watch all of his possessions that they shouldn't damage. So if you're not sure whether we should be easy on him or we should be hard, you go l'chumra. Very good. Suffolk deraisa l'chumra. One teretz is, mamish, I'm showing you the shiurim, one builds on the other, especially in Baba Kama. That's what Tyson. Rav said like this, we have a choice to compare a suitcase l'kula to Shein V'Regel, to consider it like as if the suitcase was eating up and make him potter if it's Rishus HaRabbah. Or we have a choice to make the damage on the suitcase like Karen, like Goring, which is pays even if it's done in public property. So if you're not sure, so you go L'chumra. That's one teretz. And the other teretz, well, depends which case. But here again, it's a shiloh and psukim. It's a shiloh of, you know, of what to look at, of what the Torah said. Sure, what did the Torah mean? Only a live animal or even a suitcase? So Rav says a suitcase, that also goes into shore. Because if you own it, that's considered shore. So it goes into the...
Why is that to L'chumra?
Making him pay. He's a bigger mazik. He has to watch out. Even Rishus HaRabbah. If you compare it, just like we said about your Karen
Rishus,
it's going to be L'kula. It'll be Pater Rishus HaRabbah. Any damages that Shein V'Regel do in Rishus HaRabbah are Pater. If you compare the suitcase to Shein V'Regel, it'll be Pater. So the simplest is to go L'kula L'chumra. There's another teretz, but I don't want to confuse you. Now, you want tonight, Mr. Shem, you'll get this down, there's another way. But anyway, what Taisva says is that Rav compares an Avnei Sakina Masoi, which means like a suitcase, anything you own, to Karen. So Taisva says, that's the Kasha. It's not like Bor, so you can't compare it to Bor. But it's not like Shor either, because Shor is Kavanos Al-Hazik, Shor is a live thing. So Taisva's next step is, how could Rav make a man pay for a suitcase? Just like Goring, a goring is much worse. He goes out, he goes and gores. The suitcase doesn't do anything. How could Rav make the chiyuv of... How could Rav compare it to Shor, the kids? So what does Taisus do? Taisus comes along and Taisus says, makes a combination. What Rav meant was that Rav really learned it out from both, from a combination, shur and bor. So here already, in other words, here also you, it's not completely bor like we said before, because bor you don't own. It's not completely like shur, because shur goes and damages. So it's not as bad as each one separately, but it has the lowest common denominator. That's called a tzad hashava. Both of them are damages. A bor is a mazik, and a shur is a mazik. And this, and you own it. The ma'aseh, he owns it just like he owns the shur. So you make a tzad hashava and fit it. That's why you have to pay for damages. What do you mean, hever? Well, it's closer. I mean, certainly bor. You mean, she bor an ash? You mean, why is it like ash? Ash is shalom if you own it. I don't want to get complicated. But here, at least you own it. So at least it's like shor and woe. What's mava? Mava odom or shame? Shame, Taisa says. No. Think what you're saying. Mava is not, mava is machoik is what mava is. Either it's shame or odom. Okay, so it can't be odom, it can't be shame. So the Taisus is left with a velt kasha, according to this second Taisus, that when Rav says that the way we make him pay for if his suitcase damages, we make him pay because it's bor and shor. So now the problem with Taisus is, what would be if somebody's dishes break on the suitcase? Is he going to be chayev or not?
I don't think it should. Does it break on the ground anyway?
Well, no, but because of the suitcase, it smashed. If he wouldn't have tripped on it, wouldn't have broken. It broke on the suitcase. The shaila is like this. If it would be only shor, we'd make him pay for the dishes. If it would be only bor, he would be putter on dishes. But this suitcase is a combination, bor and shor. So Taisa says, just let me get the kash. So Taisa says, since you need half of the mazik is bor, and bor is putter on kalim, so it should come out that you should not have to pay for kalim for dishes that break on the suitcase. And the kash is, Rav says in Daf Koches, that you do have to pay for dishes. So Taisus says, since Taisus got finished saying that it's also bor, you need two things to make him pay, bor and shor. If you need him to make it as a bor, how can you make him pay for dishes? We know that when dishes fall into a hole, mamish a bor, you're putter. So if dishes get smashed on a suitcase, you should also be putter. Ah, you have half, 50% shor, but you also got 50% bor.
Why should it be cool?
So that's the next step of the shir. The kids, what do you want? Also, what? That question of suffix that I worked through with one of the bachim during Seder. Here's not a question of a suffix. It's a mixture. 50% shor and 50% bor. So even like the Rajbah, it's still shver. You can hear Taisus kasha. Taisus kasha is, you don't have 100% chiyav kalim, because half of your mazik is bor. But this is not a suffix. Yes, you got it? You're missing 50%. You only have a 50% shor here. If it would be 100% shor pays for dishes. But since you're missing 100%, it's logic. That's not suffix l'chumr. It's not a suffix. To answer Taisus kasha, there are two very lumdish ways to explain what Taisus, to explain answer Taisus kashas. The Chazon Ish, the Tzal, the Chazon Ish says really that according to the Taisus and Daf Chof Ches, which is what I had mentioned earlier, you could say that really the reason why, according to Rav, when dishes get smashed on the suitcase, you have to pay for the dishes, is because really, even though you own it, really it's your bor. In other words, really, I'm just saying, according to Taisus and Daf Chof Ches, that says that really, according to Rav, when Rav says that it's a shor, it just means it's a bor plus shor. But really, it's 100% bor. Really, it's 100% bor. What? Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not really a teretz on this Taisus. It's like really saying that, but according to that Rav Shita, we understand Rav, according to the other Taisus in Daf Chof Ches, which says, which really seems to argue under what this Tosfos. But in other words, I'm just saying that to answer Rav, how could Rav say that you have to pay? How could Rav say that you have to pay if it's partly bor and shor? The teretz is like this. Chazanish explains, really it's 100% bor. A suitcase, even though you own it, still technically should be pay like a regular hole in the ground in Rishus HaRabbah. But the only thing that, so what does Rav say, so what does that have to be shor for? It's because when you do not own, when you don't own a bor, then the Torah frees you from vessels. Then the Torah frees you, that Torah says, shor v'loy adam, chamor v'loy kelim, that on a normal bor that you don't own, as big as it is, the Torah says, if this you smash it, you don't have to pay. What Rav is trying to say is like this, if you have a bor that you do own, so the fact that you have an extra ownership, that means it's fakir. It's like even worse than not owning it. Why? Because since you already, you own it also. So just like when you own a shore, and a shore breaks dishes, you have to pay for those dishes. So when the Torah says a bor, you don't have to pay, it's only if you do not own it. But if you have a bor that you have ownership, the extra ownership makes it already that you don't use the tour of Caleb. Basically what the Chazanish is saying is that technically the mazik, the label of the mazik, is technically bor. That's enough to make him pay. The only thing is if it would be a regular bor, he would be putter on Caleb. So when Rav says Hainu Shor, Rav just means to say, doesn't mean it becomes and turns into a mazik of Shor. It just gets the payment, it gets the chumra of Caleb, just like Shor has to pay for Caleb.
But
really it's bor. The Chazoidish takes on that technically it's bor. That's the way the Chazoidish says.
It's mostly bor.
It's mostly bor, but you don't have the tour of bor, because since it has an additional ownership, like the others, depending on which sora you use, but like this, you could say, if you own it, so you're more responsible, because now it was your bor that did the damage, just wasn't something, a hole in the... Now it's like it takes you lose the tour of Caleb. That's what all you take from Shor. You had to love this.
Even with a shame bor.
It's a shame bor without its tour. What the limud of Mavoi, the fact that you owed it, it just means you carry over the similar chubra of Caleb from Shor. Just like Shor is chayev on Caleb, you take over that chubra and you put it on a bor. So now you have a bor with a chumra of Caleb. The Brisky Rov, Zechut Tzadik Rofa. That famous piece, which we mentioned earlier, this is a very, which covers a lot of different points in the whole sector. He works on that. The Brisky Rov learns that the other way around. Seems the opposite way to say Pshat and Taisha, to answer the Shita of Rav. That when Rav said that a boy, that Avnei Sakira Yabasoi, which you own, is like a shore and a bor, in other words, it's a shor, like the way the Gemara says it's a shor, and the way Tosfos explains it can't be 100% shor by itself, because it's not kavanos el hazik, it doesn't go, so you have to come on to bor. So the Brisker Rav brings down the reverse, which, and the Ramosha Zatzal seems to explain it. I think Ramosha Zatzal also goes with this mahalach of the Brisker Rav. That really, it's sure, the shame, hamazik, the label, it's an interesting, fascinating contrast. The label that we put on the suitcase is sure. That's the Abba of the Zikr, that's sure. I doesn't have words, I doesn't go and damage. For that, we learn out from Bor that you see sometimes damages don't move either. Just like you see a bird doesn't move. So if you see that a bor, and it's not kavanos el hazik either. It's short bor. I'm saying a normal bor is just a rabbi. Even though it's not
a bor in just a rabbi is kavanos el
hazik. No, it's not. A bor doesn't have any kavanos. It's just a simple hole. You made it. No, the Torah was machayev bor because you made the bor in just a rabbi. And even though it doesn't move, and even though it doesn't go out and want a bor, the Torah says you have to pay. So what this does is it tells us that a suitcase which you own, could be like shor, even though it doesn't go out, even though it doesn't have any braids.
So what's all saying that? It's just the opposite of what we said before.
Yeah, because you want to accomplish why you chayev on Caleb. Why are you going to make him pay if dishes smash out the suitcase? So you got two ways to go. The Hazoidish took one way. To get, it's really a bor, but you lost the p'tur of Caleb. Really, it's a bor. That's the label that's put on the suitcase. Because it technically looks like a bor. The Bris Kirov brings down, it's not only, I'm making it the kitzer now, but the Bris Kirov and the way Rabbi Yitzchak learned, the shame, hamazik, on a suitcase. In other words, if you own the object, it can't be bor, like we said. It can't be.
What?
But to learn pshat, to answer Taisus Kasha, Taisus Vajra the Kasha, but to answer Taisus Kasha. No, that was the other, that was the Chazaydish. Yeah, that was the difference.
So like it's the shadow of Taisus happening. Why the Taisus
in this part? No, Taisus, that's very confusing. We're trying, Taisus was left with a Kasha. Taisus was left with a Kasha. And if it's a combination Shor and Bor, so then how could you make him Chayiv on Caleb, it's 50% bor. So like this, where the Bris Kirov is explaining like this. Technically, it's shor. Why does it become shor? Because the concept of shor is not the gory. The concept, the way remember we brought down, you're paying because b'moinah, your man takes responsibility for his possession. And if his possessions cause damages, we send the bill to him. So a man owns a suitcase just as much as he owns an animal. The only problem is, but it's not as bad, because an animal, at least, which he owns, goes and damages, has kavod and lahazik. Of that, to minimize, that it shouldn't bother us, that difference, we say like this. That doesn't mean anything, just because the suitcase doesn't have any braids to go damage. I'll prove to you, look at a hole in the ground in the public. Has no braids, and still the man has to pay because of bor. So therefore, it shows us that not having kavod al hazik does not detract from the damages. So therefore, if we have a suitcase that we own, we can make him pay as bad as shor, even though it doesn't have kavod to damage. But he owns it. If he owns it, the main mazik, he mazik like shor. That's why you have to pay for Caleb. So you hear, the Gemara says you have to pay. Rav says you got to pay for Caleb. The question is, what's the lovedness of it? The suitcase is a bor. So the Chazoidish takes on taka a bor, but since you own it, we just pick up that we take away the tour that normal bor has, and since this is you own it, we take from shore the chiyuv on Caleb. According to the Bris Kirov and Rabbi Yisrael Zecheinu Levracha, the fact that you own it makes it a label. Now this is a shor. In lumbus, it's a shor. That doesn't sit in the corral. But in lumbus, you're looking at a shor. You're looking at a shor, a suitcase. The Chazoidish says, really, it would be bor by itself. And all you're doing is making it such a bor that you chayev on Caleb. I mean, it's just the reverse. What's the main? What's the ikr? And what's the tuffel? The Iker Mazik, the Iker laws on this suitcase is bor. The only thing is, because you own it, we take away the Ptur of Caleb. According to the Bris Kirov and Rabbi Yisrael Levracha, it's the reverse. You chayiv on Caleb Mamish because it's shor. And a normal shor. The only question is, it's a funny kind of a shor because it doesn't have horns. For that, we compare to bor, the opposite extreme. Depends which way you're studying. Okay. This is the two main ways how to explain the Pshat and Tosfos. Just have a second. Anyway, I just want to see. We certainly don't have time to go back to the other part of yesterday's shir. Just there was something. I think I covered just about everything on this. Later on, just a second. Later on, the Mitzvah Shem, at the end of the week, or the next week, I'm not sure. Rabbi Nachum is going to say on the Wednesday, and maybe even on Thursday we'll start already Sarah Shavah, I'm not sure. Well, maybe we'll leave it to the following week. But later on, we're going to get into this same complication where you have a mazik which is derived from two different mazikim, a tzara shavah, and one has a weakness and the other one does not have a weakness. So should we go lekula and make this new product from the two mazikim take the easy one, or should we go to the reverse? As you're going to see over there, there's a famous rush, a big machlokes rishonim. But anyway, from our tosis, you see that when you have a derivative from two equal mazikim, tosis takes on, and you go lakula, and you don't make him pay. What the Chazon Ish and what the Brisker Rav and Moshe are doing is that these are not two equals. They're not two equals. One is always one major, and one is just helping out the other. That's why you're going to be chayav on Caleb. The Gemara later on, when you have two equals, then, according to this Tais Vishita, we'll see that Tais is holds you go lakum. We have here a very beautiful Inyan. Quite a number of steps of your whole cup. So hopefully you'll gain a lot from it. The Mishnah said, Arbovis Lezikin, there are four separate ovois, and each av has its own strong point, its own special reason why he should have to pay. And the Mishnah says, Loi rei ze, kirei ze. If it would only say one, in the Torah we would say that that only this one has to pay, because it's strong point. But the other one is weaker, you would not have to pay. If we would say the other one, we would find a strong point in the second one, which is stronger than the first one. So you need both. Each one has a strong point and of its own, and each one is missing the strong point of the other. Now, our Gemara is going, today's Gemara is going like Shmuel. That Shmuel says what it says in the Mishnah, Shor and Mave, Lo yare Ashor kere ha-mave. That means Shor is Karen, the mazik of Megicha of Karen. And when it says Mave, it means shame. And on that, we're going to find Lo yare Karen kishain, Lo yare shame kikaren. If it would only say in the Torah Karen, we would not know shame, because Karen has a strong point. If it would only say Shane, we would find a strong point in Shane, and we would not know Karen. That's what the Mishnah says. So the only question is, what is the strong point of Karen, and what is the strong point of Shane? On that, there's two different parts to the Gemara. The Havamina, which what we're going to work on today, and the Maskona, Aliba de Emes. But the reason why today's Gemara, the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, and this top of Dalet Amud Aleph is so hard, is because we're not used to thinking according to the logic of the Havamina. We're used to thinking simply the Maskona, which is the Maskona, the Emes, Karen should pay because Kavanos Lahazik, and Shane should pay because Hano Lahazik. But that's the Maskona. What Chazal taught us in the Havamina, the Chazal are training us that we should be flexible enough, we should be able to go deep enough with our minds, and with Torah is so big that we could just say the opposite way. What really is a strong point now is going to be weak, and what later on is a weak point is now strong. So what we're going to spend some time on is simply to understand a little the Havamina, and then we'll go into all, and this will all be according to the Havamina today's shir. But there's still a lot you could take out and apply to other places. So there's a short part of the shir, which is simply to explain the Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis. That's just the short part. And then the main shir will be on the other part, on the top on Dalet Amud Aleph, about Eved Va'omer. The Gemara says in the Havamina again, V'hochika, loy re Karen. Karen is stronger, and you can't learn out from Karen. You know why? Because Karen has a strong point. She'ain hanol ezek. So when you learn it, it sounds very hard to understand. Loirik, and Karen is stronger, which does not have hanol. Kirei ha-shein, but shein is weaker. She'yesh hanol. That's what the Gemara says. But as we just mentioned, when you first learn it, it sounds very hard to understand. Why should the fact that there's no hanor by Karen, why should that make it more to pay? And Shane, where the animal gets hanor, there's less reason. We would not be able to make the owner pay. The animal, in logic, if the animal's getting pleasure, he should have watched him, and he should have to pay. So Taisus comes along, and Taisus says like this. Taisus is trying to answer what is the logic of the Gemara that Karen should pay more because there's no pleasure, and Shane should be putter because there is pleasure. The Tosfos simply says, because if there's no Hanor by Karen, where there's no Hanor, so there's no force because of hunger, because of pleasure for the animal to eat, so it's easier to watch. If it's easier to protect, that's why if the owner was lazy, he has to pay. But Shane, where there's the animal is always hungry, so there's a reason for the animal to keep looking for food. So it's harder to watch such an animal. If it's harder to watch, then he should be put. That's the way Tosfos explains the Havamin of the Gemara. That as far as watching is concerned, Karen is more of a responsibility, and Shane is less. Now, when you learn this Tosfos, one of the Bochrim asked me during Seder, it's a good kasha. It's still hard to understand the logic of the Gemara. What do we care about whether hard watching, easy watching? In both Karen and Shane, it's his animal that did the damage. What is the logic that, what difference does it make hard watching or easier watching? Why should that be enough of a reason in terms of watching? So what I simply said
there, the animal keeps harping to itself.
I know, but it's not an onus. We're not discussing now that it's out of his control. We're just discussing harder watching and easier. If it would be an oinus where you can't watch, then it's something we understand. You can't watch, so obviously, oinus rachmana patre. Torah doesn't make a person pay for accidents. But obviously, even shame, which is hard to watch, because the animal's always hungry, it's not that he can't watch, it's just harder. So when you learn the Tosfos, you have to go deeper and say, so what? What is Tosfos helping to understand? True, Karen is easier to watch. But what should that be enough to make it a difference between Chayev by Karen and Potter by Shem? So in order to understand Tosfos' logic, which Tosfos is explaining to Gemara, he said that Tosfos holds like what we spoke about a few days ago in Shir. If you remember, we said in one of the Shirim, one of the basic concepts, when the Torah makes a man pay for Nizke Momen, for the damages when his possessions cause damage. We said two mahalachim. Why did the Torah make him pay? One mahalach was that all that, he's responsible for all damages that his money rings up. The animal went and damaged, and the animal, you send the bill to the animal, obviously the animal can't pay, so it goes from the animal to the master. But the reason why he pays is because memoincha. It was his money, which is like his own body. That was one reason we said. The other reason we explained in the other shurim is that it's shmirasan alecha. The main underlying reason why you have to pay for damages of money is because shmirasan alecha. The Torah required you to watch out for your, protect other people's property. Do shmira. And if you're lazy and you don't follow what the Torah said to do, you did an isser, you didn't do what you were supposed to, and therefore you have to pay. So those were the two ways we said a few days ago. When you learn this Tosfos, if you learn that the first way, that the reason never you always pay for damage is because it's your property that did the damage, then you have a kasha on Tosfos. What's Tosfos saying? Easy watching, hard watching, What difference does it make? Memoincha, his money caused the damage. So then we had a kasha. But if we say that Tosfos learned like the other mahalach that we said, that the reason why the Torah puts payments on the owner of his property is because the Torah says you do what you're supposed to watch. You protect from damage. You protect your... And if you don't protect, then you got to pay for not protecting. So then we can understand Tosfos very well. Tosfos is saying like this. If the Torah would only write the have to pay for Karen, you know why? Because the Torah, it's easy to watch. So the Torah says do an easy watching, and if you're still so lazy you can't even do an easy watching, then you got to pay. But we would not know that by shame, which would require a lot more watching because the animal is always hungry looking for food. We would not know that the Torah places on the master the chi of shmir when it's a difficult shmir. Maybe the Torah, man hits too hard, so maybe the Torah freed him from a hard shmir. If the Torah freed him from a hard shmir, there's no reason to pay. So this Tosfos, at least the way Tosfos explains, that an easy shmir would be chayiv to pay, a karen. And a hard shmir would be potter, is the chara. The way to explain Tosfos is according to that way that we said in other shiurim, which again shows you Masechta Baba Kama, you have basic yesodis. If you get those yesodis clear, you can understand things as you go along.
This is all explaining
Tosfos, who explains the logic of the Havamina, that Karen would be chayef to pay because there's no pleasure in eating, which means because it's an so which makes it easier to watch. But Shane would be putter to pay because it's hard to watch. So the kasha we had is, what kind of logic? Just because it's hard to watch, his animal went there and ate up somebody else's potatoes. So we're explaining, since it's hard to watch from eating potatoes, and the whole chiyuv of payment is for not watching, so the Torah only made you pay when it was easy to watch. That's the way Tosfos explains. But we're just adding that if Tosfos, according to the other Mahalach, that the payments for damages are simply because you are property damaged. If you watched, then you can say I'm an oinus, I did whatever I could, then we don't understand. Then there's no reason why Shane should get off the hook. Because Shane, even though it's hard to watch, but he's not an accident, it could have been done. He can't claim accident. He can't claim it's impossible to watch. So how could Tosfos say that you would be putter? That's why we're showing that to explain Tosfos' logic in the Gemara is much, it's smoother, it's feasible, according to that, what we said before. That was simply just to help you, and the same would be by Kavanah Selahazik, three verses. Once you get it in one way, you can apply it the other way also. If the Torah would only say Shane, we'd say Shane is easier to watch because there's no Yetzirah pushing him to the Kavanah Selahazik. So it's an easier Shmira. So we'd say only Shane Yechayev. But Karen, which in certain ways has a harder Shmira, because you got to watch out for a Mishigas of Kavanah Selahazik. So then we would say, but it's basically, we would just reverse the logic, the cases. That's the first half of the shir, which should help you explain Tosfos and tie in to the other part. Any questions in that?
Yeah. Yeah. So still, according to the second one? According to the Mordechai,
If you watch something, even though it's a month, but you're putter. If you do watch something, then you're an accident. Then it turns into an accident.
It does?
Yeah.
Even though it's your
accident. Yeah, because that deters is v'lo yishmirenu. But if you do make a shmira, then you have a good claim. You can claim, yeah, that's an important halacha. If you do make shmira, you'll go back to the other notes. You fit that in now that you know that. That's right. Now the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara says, this is all in the Havamina again, and the Torah says if it would only write Shane, I'd say Shane is chayav because there's no kavana, so it's an easier shmira. Since there's no kavana there lahazik, it's an easier shmira. But by Karen, which is harder to watch, because kavanasi lahazik, I'd say since it's too hard to watch, it's harder to spot. Here the Gemara asks, at this point, the Gemara says, V'lav kal v'chaymer hu. The Gemara says, now the Gemara is arguing on that. And the Gemara is saying, isn't it a kal v'chaymer? That's kavanos ilahazik should be a reason to make him pay. V'lav kavuchaymer. The Gemara takes on that at this point, the Gemara is not happy to say that Karen should be potter because it's hard to watch. The Gemara asks, this is the next step of the Gemara. It's a kavuchaymer. Kavanos lahazik. He's a mean animal. He certainly should kill. The next step of the Gemara is where the shear is going to be on. What is the next step after the Gemara says Kal V'chomer that Karen should be Chayiv? The Gemara says, no, I'll give you a reason why Karen should be Potter and Shane should still be Chayiv, but Karen should be Potter even though it's Kavanos Elahazik. So the Gemara says like this, because I'll show you Eved V'omo. I'll show you a case, the Gemara says, where a master owns a maidservant, an Eved and Oma. Let's say Goyish, I don't want to get into complicated. Let's say an Eved Kanani, maybe it's even an Eved Ivri. But to make things simpler, let's say an Eved Kanani. A man buys an Eved Kanani, and what happens is, Eved V'Oma, Kavanos L'Hazik, if they go break somebody's window, they go ahead and they damage something. It's Kavanos L'Hazik. And we learn in a Mishnah in the 8th Perek, Rashi brings down in Achoivel, or in Masechtas Yadayim, Tosfos brings down, we learned in these two places that if a master owns an Eved, listen carefully, because then everything, if you get this the case well, will hopefully go smoothly. A master who owns an Eved who breaks a window, the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Masechtas Yadayim that the master does not have to pay for the damages that his servant smashed the window. So the Gemara says, you see, even though it's kavona lahazik, the master is putter. The same thing should be by an animal. If a man owns an animal which gores, and it's kavonos lahazik, so also the master is the owner should be putter. So this is how the Gemara slugs up the kal v'chomer. You, what was the kasha? Of course you should be chayiv on Karen, because kavona lahazik, so the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that if something's kavona lahazik, it still could be potter. Where's the proof? From Eved va'omo. That's the proof. The next step, before the Gemara comes along, it takes away that proof. And the Gemara says, you know why the master, get it carefully, you know why the master is potter to pay for the broken glass of the Eved? Because the Rabbanon said, if he'll have to pay, whenever the Eved gets angry at the master, he'll go around town smashing windows and make his owner pay $1,000. So the Rabbanon came along and said, a master does not have to pay for the damages of his slave. What about the slave himself? Let's look at the slave. The slave himself has no money to pay while he's a slave. And when the slave, if he ever gets free, the slave has to pay. So we're not talking about from the slave, his payments. Our Gemara, and I have to make this very clear, if you want to get Yishmak, understand the shear, it's clear in the Gemara, we are talking now about the master being putter to pay for the damages. And that's the comparison to the owner of the shore. The Gemara wants to say the owner of the shore should be putter on Karen, even though it's kavona lahazik. The Gemara wants to prove it from a master who does not have to pay for his slave's damages. Both the same. An owner with an object. An owner with an animal. An owner with a slave. And the Gemara later on says, no. An owner of a slave is putter because we're afraid the slave will take revenge on the master. But by an animal, when an animal damages, the master has to pay. That is all the Gemara that we need now for today's Inyan. But see if, digest it, see if you get clearly what exactly we just said.
So you said that there's a lot of clients
why the master is putter?
Yeah, because by, they can make money, they can make money, they can
make money, they can make money. But the Gemara says that in the meantime he can't make money because he's an Eved Kanani. He's stuck by the master. The question is, the Gemara says that the Gemara thought that the master is free because it was kavona lahazik, like he can't control his Eved. And the Gemara comes out at the end, not that way. Really, the master should have to pay for the damages, just like a man who owns an animal has to pay for the damages. But the reason why the master is free is in order that we're afraid that the slave shouldn't go ahead and take revenge. But what, make sure, are you asking me any questions now? Because from here on in, it's going to start getting quite lumbish. You got the Gemara Bekitzer? First, the Gemara thought that the master is free because it's a kavana lahazik. He can't control, it's hard to watch the slave. And the Gemara says, no. Really, he would have to pay for the damages of the slave, just like a man has to pay for the damages of an animal that you own, because he owns it. The reason why he doesn't have to pay is the takonas chachomim. The chachomim said, we better change the law, or else the slave is going to ring up $1 million bill, and then the master is going to have to pay, just like the master has to pay for all the damages that his animal does. Shor, bor. Okay. So from this Gemara, it would seem the Achronim take out a very beautiful, important concept. They imply, they squeeze it out. From this Gemara, it seems that when a man owns an Eved Kanani, a human being who he's a servant, he carries, technically, according to the Torah law, if not for the special problem of revenge, a man owning an Eved is like owning a shor. It's like owning a boar. It's like one of all the Arba of his Nezikin. So you'd say to yourself, what's such a big thing like that? What's the big Kiddush? I mean, it's logical, right? If a man owns something, so he owns it. What's the difference if he owns an animal?
Eved has das.
Or if he owns that? The problem is the Achronim ask a kasha, and this is the kasha. How could it be that the owner should have to pay, if not for the problem of revenge? From the Gemara said he'd have to pay, if not for the problem of revenge. If a Navi would say, this Eved is not going to take revenge on you, this is the only time in his life that he broke one window, assuming technically. So we go to the master, according to this Gemara, isn't it Kor Mashma, if not for the problem of revenge, we go to the master to make him pay. Because something that he owned caused damage. So the question is like this. How could we even make the master pay for the damages of the Eved? I mean, Yitzchak spoke it out. Since, if a man owns an animal, the animal has no brains. The animal just works on instinct. And the Torah says, watch your animal. And if you don't watch it, you got to pay. But when a man owns an Eved, he can't lock him up in a corral. You can't lock up a human being in a corral.
That's the property.
Oh, so the question is, but not what I'm showing you. That's why it's very lumbish. True, it's his property, but, so to speak, he can't make any shmira. He can't... Good. He can't... That's I tell you, there's a lot of steps here. The question is, how could the Gemara imply, in logic, that a master should be responsible to pay for the broken window that his Eved breaks? As far as Shemir is concerned, he let him tie it to Bezdin. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't do any watching because the man was on his own. I couldn't sit there 24 hours a day. I couldn't lock him up in a corral. So Lachara, how could the Gemara seem to imply that a master would have the responsibility, if not for the problem of revenge? Again, it's only without that. That the Chacham said you don't have to pay any debts because maybe the Eved will take revenge and make a big bill. If not for that Takonas Chacham, we're using it going deeper. Min HaTorah, how could he be responsible to pay since. He can't watch it. I mean, he can't. How can you go around on a key on a chain?
So we have another one.
What do you mean another? Oh, so now you might want to say. Good. Hold on.
Yeah. He can't watch it.
Right. So that's good for the kasha. So how could? So you should be potter because he can't. Not only it's hard. He can't. It's even worse than what we said in Taisu. You can't watch a human being. So if you can't watch him, how can you make him pay? But if you would say, so you might want to say like this, the reason why he would be chayiv is because maybe the Gemara held that he could be chayiv because of the other reason. In other words, because it's memoinai, if the fact that lamaisa he owns it, maybe the Gemara, that's enough of a reason. In other words, he didn't make a watching, right? Lamaisa, he didn't make a watching. So he takatainas, I'm an onus, I couldn't watch. But lamaisa, you're chayiv until you did a watching. And if you didn't do the watching, so you're chayiv because it's mammon, the other reason. In other words, again, we're back to the shaila of why did the Torah make you pay for damages? So if the Torah is making you pay for damages because you didn't do what you were supposed to, so you katayna, I couldn't do it. I'm an honest. I had no way to watch it. But then he should be putter. So the one you might want to answer at this Gemara, at this stage, the Gemara takes on that he's going to be chayiv to pay because of the, like this is what Shimon meant, that for the other reason, because since he owns, this Gemara will take on that if once a person owns a property, once a person owns a potential mazik, he's chayiv until he makes a shmira. If he makes a shmira, he can tie an onus. But if he does, if he has no way to make the shmira, he's still chayiv because it's memoinai.
And when we answer Gatan and Rabbi, can we change that around?
No, that's just the derabbanan, the reason. No, that's just the derabbanan. Don't be careful.
Which part?
The other. In other words, the reason he would be chayiv was for the other way that we said last week, that it's enough to make him proud because it was his money. And Lamaisa, he had no way to make a shmir because you're dealing with a ben das. So since so the owner has no control over him. So therefore, he still has to pay because of the money. I'm ready up to the terrace. I mean, the kasha was in the Gemara. Why should the master even have to pay at all? If not for revenge, he would have to pay. The question is why? Why should he have to pay? He can't watch, but he can't watch him. Teretz is because he owns it. That's the step. That's what we're saying. Oh, but the Chazoinish, that's how it goes weiter. It's like sort of a pilpul here. There's a lot of different steps, but if you take it slow, step at a time. But the problem is it's still shver. Why? Because even if you're going to say that we're making the master would have to pay for the window, broken window, because the Eved is his property, and he didn't do any watching because he can't control the Eved. But look at the Chap, this Gevaldige Chap Kashia. He should be able to tell Bezdin, you know, I did watch my Eved. Why? Because just like if a man has an animal and he's going away on vacation, he can't watch it. What would be if he calls in a Shomer, he makes a Shliach to watch it. So the man on vacation is free, right? The Shomer now takes responsibility to protect the animal. So you hear the Kasha of the Chazanish? The owner, the master, should be able to be free by saying, since the Eved is a Bardas, he has enough brains to watch himself. So it's like I own the Eved, but I gave the Eved over to himself to watch.
Can you make an Eved Shliach?
Yeah, no, you don't have to be Mamish or Shliach. You don't have to. He's watching himself. He has enough brains.
The case that we gave there, it was a split.
Two separate people, you mean?
No,
what
no,
is
no.
Split?
But a case when we said that if my neighbor watches the
show. No, you're mixing. Don't go. That's it. That was. Listen to the simple case. Reuven has an axe. And Reuven makes a Shliach. Listen, do me a favor. Watch the axe. And as soon as Shimon says, yes, I will watch him, Reuven can go on vacation. And if anything damages happen, the shliach, the one who was supposed to watch, is nichnas tachas habaylam. He carries responsibility. So the lamda shakasha is true. The master himself did not watch the eved, but it's like he gave over the eved that the eved should watch himself. So if the eved was careless and the eved went and smashed the window, the eved should have only the responsibility. But as far as the master is concerned, he gave it over to a shomer. Who's the shomer? The Eved himself.
Who cares? The Eved will go to the Baal.
Anyway.
The Baal.
No, that's the problem. Right. Why should it go to the Baal? That's good with the shower. There's no reason to go.
Because your mom and damages.
No, that's our whole side. But even if your mom
is, your mom and damages, it goes to you.
No, but not if you give it to a shomer. Here he gave it to a shomer.
Shomer's
chayv. So here's the shomer. The Eved himself. So
the Eved has no money.
Tough. So you wait till he gets money. But don't go to the Adi.
Yeah.
The Odin says, I gave it over to the
Shulman. He said, you got that answer again, it was
revenge. What? No, revenge is only the Rabbanandika reason to forget it. Take it slow. That's only the Rabbanandika problem. The Rabbanan said, in order to not to worry about revenge, we cancel all debts. Our question, our whole shir is based, why is there a debt? Why is there a chiv on the master? So we try to say, because the master owns the slave. But the problem now is, the master should be free, because the master gave over to somebody to watch the eved. Who did he give him over to? To himself. So why should the master have to pay? The kitzer, because I have a lot of steps left.
How can he honestly say that Evan will be a shliach for himself?
He's automatically. That doesn't matter. He's automatically an Evan because he knows he's not supposed to smash windows. I mean, it goes automatically. Every normal Evan is bardas enough to watch. And if the Evan decided to be a mishigas, it's the Evan's problem. But as far as the owner is concerned, he says, I gave my Evan to a responsible person. To who? To himself.
He's bardas.
So the same thing in
that's right. Good. Normal. Yeah. So the Chazon Ish says on this, you got Yossi, you got the step. Yeah. So now the Chazon Ish says no. He says two reasons why we're trying to look for a reason why he's chayev, because the Gemara says he's chayev. The problem is Mechayra, the master complained that I gave over this Eved to a bar das to watch. So the Chazon Ish says two logics. The easier logic to understand is like this. The only time a man can claim that I gave over something to a good shomer, and therefore I was able to go on vacation, that's only if the shomer has money to pay in case some debts are going to happen. But since over here this Eved has no money, so in case a damage will happen, the Eved has no money. So that's not a good enough shomer. A shomer has to be somebody who has cash in the bank. That's Chazon Ish himself is answering. That's right. Then it's called that I gave it under a good person. But if you give something to somebody to watch, and this man is penniless, so of course he's not going to care about it that much because he doesn't have any money to pay anyway. So that's why the Eved cannot serve as a shomer on himself for the damages that the Eved will do, because the Eved has no money to pay. So that's why the master cannot say, I gave it over to a reliable shomer. One step. Then the Chazon Ish Zatzal says a little bit deeper along this. Why the master cannot claim that the Eved is a good shomer on himself. Why? Because a shomer, here a beautiful concept. What is a shomer? Shomer is that somebody watches something else, right? You give me an animal to watch. You can give me a bomb to watch, right? It's a bomb that can go off. I'll protect it. I'll do whatever I want. But to watch myself, since a person has bechira, he has the yetzer and the yetzer, so he's always vulnerable. That means anytime he wants, he can always think of something, a reason, to do something bad. So it comes out that a man is not considered a shomer on himself because he has bechira. Shomer is pshat, I lock up the thing, I'm in control of whatever I'm watching. But I'm not in control of myself because I have bechira to do something wrong.
He didn't appoint a good shomer.
That's right. It's considered that he did not appoint a good shomer.
Why? What's the difference if he's watching himself or something else?
That's the tifkat of the Chazon Ish. A man can watch something else better than he can watch himself. Why? When you watch something else, I got a job, I got to protect this thing. And I know I'm getting paid for it, I know that I got to do something, I got to do to take care of something else. But myself, I'm a shomer, not yichazer. If let's say I smell it, and I can't control myself. Sometimes a person loses control over himself. There's a lesson here, there's a philosophy, hashkofa, in this Chazon Ish. That a person, for somebody else, you give musr to somebody else, I see weaknesses in somebody else. In myself, it's harder to see. Because I'm so close to myself, I could slip. So that's the Chazon Ish, that the master cannot say that I gave over the Eved to protect the Eved, not to do damages. Because if the Eved gets angry, he can't hold himself back. Because he has that urge, he has that bechira. A man has a choice to do right or wrong. So a man is not a shamer on himself. It's a beautiful concept. Think about it. Okay?
The thing that he's watching directly affects him.
That's right. So it's too close to himself to be considered a shame. See, we're not finished yet. That's why. Oh, that's the so. So now, Makar, we're set here. Makar, now everything's good. Right? I'm just showing you how many. There's a few more steps here. The food came ready?
He said
it was. Good. This is very relevant. First teretz was that it's not a shamer who has no money is not considered a shamer. Okay. But now the achrayim come, so l'chor everything settled. What were we looking for? We were looking for a reason why, if not for the problem of revenge, a master would have to pay for a broken window that his slave breaks. Why? Because he owns the slave. It's his. He owns the slave, and his slave made a damage, and he did not watch the slave, and he didn't give it over to a shamer. But there's still another problem. There's really two more problems. One problem is that the Achronim talk about is like this. I mean, it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Torah, Arba Ovis Nezikin, right? Animals. Animal, Shor, Bor, Mavra, and Hever. But it doesn't say a Mazik, it says Adam Amazik, true. That means an Adam Amazik, that's true. Adam Amazik has to pay for himself. But it never says that if man owns another human being, that that's also a mazik. And to make this kasha stronger, there's a Taisvis and Daf Yud Zayin which says like this. When it says in the Torah shame, this will make the kasha clearer. When it says in the Torah man has to pay for shame, what kind of a shame? Who did the, what kind of an animal? It says behemoth. It says kiyavir is beira. Beira is a behemoth. Right? There's a Taisvis in Daf Yud Zayin that says, how do we know, for instance, a chaya? How do we know a chaya? Let's say a buffalo, assuming it's a chaya. How do you know if a buffalo eats up somebody else's vegetables? So, Taisvis says, because by the laws of Shabbos, atovin v'chemzel chaya, all and a chaya is the same thing like a behemoth. So just like by the laws of Shabbos, a chaya is like a behemoth, the same thing by the laws of shame. Chaya is like a behemoth. From that thesis we see that you just don't automatically say, well, once it says in the Torah, a behemoth eats, automatically anything that eats. You don't say that. It's only because we learn from the laws of Shabbos that chaya bechal behemoth. So the question is like this. Just because the man owns the human being, he owns the Eved, but we don't, without any special psukim, just because she's not like an animal. If the Torah only says that a man owns an animal, Karen, Shane, Regal, those are animals. Again, even so, the Kasha is back to the same Kasha. Even though the man owns the Eved, it's his property, but you should need a pasuk. You should need a pasuk to tell us that when you own a human being and the human being does damage, you have to pay. Just like you see by Shane, if not, that you need a special psukim, not only an animal, but even a chaya. So the same thing, you should need a special pasuk, not only an animal that breaks the window, but even a human being. So the question is, why again should the master be chaya for the damages that his servant, who's a human being? So what if it's Mamoinai, but it's not Eish, it's not Bor, it's not Shor, it's a human being. So how do we know that that goes into Arba Avos Nezikin? He's a human being, so you can't just... You see from Shane, the Chaya, you can't just expand Mazikim, anything you own, because if not, you wouldn't need Shane the Chaya. You'd know automatically if and what's the difference, what kind of an animal eats. So since you see, it's like a diuk. If you see, you need a special limud to teach us even a Shane of a Chaya, which is not written in the Torah. So how do we know a human being? There's no special limud that even a human being is considered a Mazik. If somebody owns a human being, how do we know that that's considered a Mazik? That's the main kasha. There are another question is that if a man's, the Gemara says that if a man's Eved would go light a fire, this is a very interesting shaila. If a man's Eved would go to somebody else's property and light the fire, he'd have to pay, if not for the problem of Nekama, if not for the Gzer, right? So the kasha that Achrayim ask is, why should he have to pay if his Eved lights somebody else's fire? What would be if a man's animal lights somebody else's fire? A man's animal goes and takes a dog or a monkey that learned the tricks, goes to somebody else's property and burns it. Remember, The animal itself did not damage. The animal made aish. It's a very long shayla. It's like it's a double-headed mazik. It's a two. The shor did not do keren shena regel. He had a shayla. The keren, the shor itself didn't damage the keren shena regel. The shor went and lit a fire, or the shor dig a hole in Rishis Rabbah. If somebody's shor makes a bore, what would you say logically? Would the master be chayiv on the shor's bore or the shor's eish? And then is he's puffed. Because only ish bor, ki yichra ish bor, only if a man himself makes a momen amazik, the loy shor bor, if a man's animal digs a hole, or if a man's animal makes a fire, so it's like two steps away from the person, the din is that the master is putter.
Ash makes an ash.
That's the sugya of each pizza. Each one keeps burning.
Simple. Because,
yeah?
Because the evidence going, he knows what he's doing, so he's going and he's making the fire.
But if we're looking at this evid, like Maman Amazik, if we're looking, yeah, the kasha, what are we, even though we might, after all this whole shir, we would say that the master, that the slave is like, and like my animal, if I own the slave, it's like I own the animal. But if the slave goes to light somebody else's fire, why should I have to pay? If my animal went to light somebody's fire, I wouldn't have to pay.
Who said the Mishnah is talking
about? Yeah. All right. So the Gemara talks about that whole problem, right? Because that's
who said
yeah.
That Gemara is talking about that kind of mazik? Maybe it's
no, because it says only yeah. Directly means that he smashes a window. Yeah. But the Gemara says v'yad l'chidisha shechaver.
Oh,
that is the case. It's a chaf. The Gemara says that if not from the kama, what?
The Gemara's l'kash.
No. Oh yeah. That's the same idea. That's the same idea. That only if. What do you mean? Yeah, but as far as he's concerned, it's not he himself, it's his Evid. We're trying to make the master pay. It's Ish Veloy Ish Veloy Evid Ish. Ish Bor Veloy Evid Bor. Okay, it's a chap what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Yeah? So, Lachaira, just to answer you, I have 1 minute. I'm going to tell you over, because of all of these caches, we're still back to the basic problem. How could a man who owns a slave be responsible to pay for the broken window or the fire that his slave created? Why should the master carry the bills? The slave has grain. The slave himself is going to have to pay anyway when he gets out of slavery. So why does the Gemara show us, teach us, that if not for the problem of revenge, the master would have to pay? It's not like a regular momen amazik. It's a human being that he owns. Why should he have to pay if his slave does something? That's the basic kasha throughout the whole shir. So on this, the Chazanish, the Chaim Lebrocha, and the Granach teach us a very big kiddush. That when the Gemara, they both say the same kiddush. When the Gemara holds that a master would have to pay for the damages of his slave, it's not like as if his animal did a damage. It's not because we look at the slave like the property of the master. That's not why the payment, just like we don't look at the slave like an animal, because it wouldn't help, it wouldn't be enough to make for all the different lumdasin that we spoke out. So we're holding now by the chit by the end of it, even this much. So what we're saying is that the anu pshat in the Gemara, the Chazanish and the Granat, I didn't say it yet, that the reason why the Gemara takes on that a master would have to pay for the damages that his slave does is not because we look at the slave like another Maman Amazik, like another one of his possessions. He's much different. He's human, so you can't compare him to an animal. And all the other proofs that we had. And you see, the Gemara takes on, he'd have to pay even if this ever makes a fire. The reason why he has to pay is because since while he's a slave, the master took away all his money and all his capabilities to pay up his debts. So the master has to carry the debt until the slave gets enough money, and then the slave will pay back the master. In other words, basically, the master himself does not carry responsibility for the damage. He carries responsibility to save, to pay for the slave's debts, because since he took all the money away from the slave, and the slave by breaking the window owes the nizik $100, so all money matters are transferred over to the master. That's why he has to pay. And then when he has enough money, the master goes to the slave and says, "Listen, I paid up your debt." But there's a big difference in lumbus. There's a world of difference. We kept thinking, according to the whole shiur, that the nizik goes directly to the master and says, "Listen, you master, you owe me. You got to cover me because you, your money, your slave caused me damage. So you have to watch. You should have watched your slave." Now, after this whole shiur from the Granat and the Chazanish, the Chanel Rebracha, the nizik really has nothing to do with the master. The nizik can just go to the slave. The slave goes to the master, and the slave says, "Listen, fellow, you got to bail me out. You carry all my account is by you. So you have to pay up my debts." The nizik says, because the nizik knows that, so then the nizik can take the mazik, can take the owner to court, because the mazik is in charge of all financial responsibilities of that the eved made. It's a big lumnus on it. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Geneva from Reb Chaim Brisker al Rambam, it's mashmah not that way. But Bekitzer, if you get this yesod, it's a new idea that the master is simply just taking care of the financial responsibility but he really doesn't have his own achrayus as if it was an animal. He just, since he's holding on to the cash, he has to pay for him.